What we brought back to WIC. Escaping death made me giddy as we snuck back into the balcony cliffs, and Bourne giddy because he saw me being that word and because I was trying to distract him from his pain. If pain he felt, he wouldn't tell me if it hurt. Life took on a bright and shining glow after being so newly almost dead. I was also giddy with a kind of don't care anger, because I had stumbled upon a secret when we had finally gone down to the factory floor, one I had to bring back to WIC because it belonged to him. Down those drab corridors we walked tall, and then would be bent over with guffaws, which is how I knew I was my father's daughter, for that was his way, too, to be doubled over with his laughter or his grief. For during the trek back, Mord had gone in our estimation from spectacular to buffoonish, his star blotting the work of a clumsy, maniacal, floating bear. Who ever heard of a floating bear? I told Bourne. That'd be like finding a plant that was actually a talking octopus. Bourne latched on to a word he hadn't heard before. Buffoon, he said with enthusiasm. Boon buff! Buffalo balloon! I knew that word would distract him, that he would be turning it over in his head for a few minutes at least, wouldn't be thinking about the bears, just mutating buffoon until it was unrecognizable. Yes, I said, buffoon! Sobering a bit, joking around with my friend Bourne, who seemed no different after having moved out, who had saved my life and his own, and suffered in the process. Buffaloon! It's not that Bourne wasn't genuine. No, he was always genuine. But he took his cues from me, had been learning how to react from me, primary, and the world and books, secondary. And I was determined that for a few hours at least, Bourne being hurt wouldn't mean being defeated. If I hadn't been giddy, Bourne wouldn't have expressed a headlong happiness. He wouldn't have danced up to WIC by the swimming pool, danced around WIC on that nimble set of cilia, or taken it into his head to get shallow, as he put it, and spread out his body weight before surging up the wall and halfway up the cathedral-like ceiling, there to peer down through star eyes as he replicated the night sky once more. Hello, WIC, Bourne said from the ceiling. Hello, WIC, I brought you a present. Rachel had me bring you a present. Hello, WIC. We had burst in on WIC with such bravado that I hadn't noticed how drunk WIC was, either on minnows or the more banal rot-gut moonshine he traded for. But he was giddier than we were, and though I sensed danger in that, I was also too wired to care. We had made it back to the balcony cliffs. We were safe. WIC, this is Bourne. Bourne, this is WIC, I said. I had some stupid idea in the back of my head that WIC could look at Bourne's wounds. But what was WIC, a doctor? A veterinarian? We've met, WIC said. We've talked. We're practically brothers now. A hint of something dark and self-deprecating in his tone. Yes, Rachel, I know WIC. WIC knows me. I went over and was neighborly. I went over and said hi to him after I moved into my new apartment. That brought me up short. Bourne much too pleased about being neighborly. In fact, Rachel, WIC said, Bourne already seemed to know a lot about me before we even talked. Yes, Rachel talks about you all the time, WIC.
So I gathered.
My giddiness was evaporating. I was just standing there, unable to believe that one of the things I'd covered with my giddiness, the anxiousness of two unalike chemical compounds coming into contact for the first time, wasn't the first time. WIC and Bourne knew each other. WIC and Bourne had talked. It felt like a betrayal, as if WIC had done something behind my back. Even worse, that Bourne had. though that was ridiculous. What could I have wanted more than for Wick and Bourne to talk to each other, to find a way to get along?
"What have you brought me, my friend?"
Wick said, staring up at Bourne and ignoring my surprise.
"Have you brought me a very late lunch? Have you brought me spare parts? Have you brought me something else from the company?"
Wick was wearing mismatched flip-flops too large for him, and plaid shorts, and a white undershirt with a green smudge on it. He had probably been about to go to sleep.
"Claw!" Bourne said. "I bring claw!"
With a showman's flourish, a pseudopod sprawled out from his flat body, much to Wick's discomfort. He started, took a step back, while the stars withdrew and Bourne's normal eyes dotted his surface. The tentacle thus extended did indeed offer up to Wick claw. Wick just looked at the proffered claw, and I shuddered, seeing the blood-splashed factory floor all over again. Claw was almost as long as someone's forearm, and fearsomely curved and ended in a point both broad and sharp.
"What is this?"
Wick asked, wobbly.
"Something from the holding ponds?"
"You know what it is, Wick," I said. I didn't like this version of drunk Wick.
"Claw! Glorious claw! From a moored bear,"
Bourne said, and let the claw fall to the stone floor. Pseudopod retracted, eyes alight with, brimming with a kind of amusement, or was he bright with pain?
"Now I want to expedition the ceiling."
"Explore, not expedition, Bourne." There came a smell from him, like the salt edge of a wave, clean, crisp, pure. Bourne got even shallower, until he couldn't have been more than a quarter inch thick, and covered the ceiling.
"Are you marrying the ceiling, Bourne?"
I asked.
"I'm not married. I'm never getting married."
"Sure looks like you're getting married."
"No, just tasting. I'm getting tasted today, a lot."
"Tested."
"Toasted."
I knew he was recovering. That somehow going shallow helped. That tasting helped. I could see the scars, the mark of Mord upon him, realized all over again how traumatic the rooftop had been for him, despite his protests that he would be fine. Wick had picked up the claw, was turning it over in his hands as he stumbled to a chair next to his vat of swampy elixirs. The pool was dark tonight, a kind of mumbled bubbling close to its surface, a subdued green glow. Our light came from the fireflies and the lichen on the ceiling, most of which Bourne now covered, although all during his exploration he thoughtfully turned on lights in his face to compensate. I pulled up a chair next to Wick. "We had a run-in today with Mord proxies. It's why we're late."
"I guessed as much from the claw,"
said as harsh as it sounded, preoccupied. I took a good long look at Wick, slumped there in the chair, holding the claw. Oh, gaunt skeleton, oh, drawn cheekbones and hooded, shadowy quality to the eyes. Seeing him that way, distracted and concerned and so thin, I couldn't tell him that his first thought should have been to ask if we were okay, that his second should have been to hug me, that his third, if he was smart, was to know from the look on my face that we needed to talk. "Can't you find out a lot from the claw?" My grasp of biotech and Wick's abilities would always be fuzzy, but I had been imagining stupid things like making a clone of Mord, but a good Mord, a responsible Mord, a Mord that helped us.
"Yes, it's a claw from a bear, a Mord proxy. I can do a lot with it. Thanks."
"What's wrong, Wick?"
"Do you think it's a good idea, bringing Bourne in here?"
He looked up at the ceiling where Bourne was expeditioning some texture, exploring some fireflies, and enveloping a nest of non-biotech spiders.
"Leave the fireflies alone," he told Bourne.
"You should know," I said. "You've already talked. You're already friends."
"Not friends. We talked in the corridor. If I had no choice about him being here, then I should at least get a sense of what he's up to. I've never let him in here before. Have you?"
"Yes, actually," I admitted. "And Bourne and I have walked through all of the corridors and all the secret places, and there have even been places Bourne could squeeze into and I couldn't." Rubbing our stink on everything, I wanted to say, rebellious, making sure to rub our stink on everything. "Which means that not only is your question too late, but Bourne could help us to uncover more of our home. With his help, we might find more supplies hidden away under all that trash."
"Bourne this, Bourne that," Wick said, tapping the point of the claw against the side of the swimming pool. "It was bad enough before, and now you tell me this, Rachel. There is not now in the entire balcony cliffs, except this room, a single living creature other than you, me, and Bourne. Doesn't that tell you anything?"
"I asked you to have him out of here. For all I know, he's been bringing the lizards to you, Wick."
"No, he hasn't. He's been bringing them to the mouth he doesn't need."
"And neither Bourne nor I are listening, Wick," I said, because I wasn't. "Pests, vermin. Bourne was just keeping the place clean. Because we live here too. We live here with you, Bourne and me. Me and Bourne and you. And isn't he amazing? Can you deny he's amazing?" Bourne was currently using competing tentacle puppet heads to have an argument above us about the uses of expeditioning versus exploring, and the differences between them, clearly for my benefit.
"A work of art," Wick said. "A genius."
Before that, I hoped Wick hadn't noticed Bourne muttering about how Wick wasn't as much of a stick in the mud as I'd said, that the swimming pool from above was
really cool, but kinda hot, A-okay.
Had he discovered the remains of a treasure trove of teen heartthrob mags in the balcony cliffs? So I say again, what's wrong?
"Send Bourne out of here first," Wick said. "Get him out of here."
"No," I said. He hadn't realized it yet, but I was at the limits of my patience. In addition to being giddy and angry, I was exhausted and feeling the aches of our misadventure, and I needed sleep soon to come down from the high of escape. Wick considered that, astonished me by tossing the claw into the swimming pool as if it meant nothing, had no value at all.
"Okay, the hell with it," he said,
sounding so unlike Wick.
"Why not?"
He rummaged through a metal box and took out a fistful of alcohol minnows. Now I felt maybe he wasn't so much drunk as in distress.
"Here, Bourne, have a minnow," he said, and tossed a half dozen up into the air.
Not nearly high enough, but it didn't matter. Bourne bits reached down to pluck them out of the air anyway.
"Oh, minnows for a claw." "Yes, Bourne," Wick said, "minnows for a claw. You are generous."
Bourne began to feast with what for him were polite gobbling noises meant to thank us. His slobbering made him sound like an old circus seal, and that annoyed me too. "So now you know Bourne so well, you're getting him drunk?" Wick spun his chair around so he was facing me.
"They don't have the same effect on old Borneo. They just don't. Biotech's not the same as you. Most biotech's unpredictable, more than you realize. Borneo biotech becomes blotto some other way. Here, have some."
And he threw a few minnows at me. The minnows were really more like salted sardines, but when you bit into them, a soft, minty coolness crept through your mouth, and then the alcohol, or alcohol equivalent, slid in behind with a real chill to it, and the cold and the tart aftertaste were good. On a hot day, it felt great. "What didn't you want to tell me with Bourne here?" I asked, after I'd crunched down on a couple of minnows. "Just spit it out." Another pause, and then he began to launch into it, but in a wick way, through a side door, through a maze.
"Rachel, it's too dangerous here now, at the balcony cliffs, too dangerous on our own. You know that yourself from tonight."
"But you didn't even ask what happened. You didn't even ask." I couldn't keep the hurt from my voice, though it made me seem like a child. He winced.
"Maybe because you're safe. Maybe because you're here and you made it back. Maybe because the magician just sent me a message."
The chill of the alcohol couldn't compete with the chill at the back of my neck, the way that news made me feel claustrophobic and itchy and not right. What did the magician want?
"What we get is protection,"
Wick said, ignoring my question.
"We get supplies, food, water, more and better biotech. I work with her against Mord."
I was giddy all over again. But it was the giddiness of feeling your stomach drop as you plunged over an abyss. The wild, terrible thrill of everything going the wrong way, up or down. "What does the magician want in return?" Wick winced, looked down at his hands.
"You won't like it."
"Of course I won't like it, Wick. You don't even like it."
"She wants the balcony cliffs. And probably Bourne Borneo up there, because she'll want access to all the biotech. Every last bit."
The balcony cliffs. Bourne. The magician wanted everything, including our souls.